What is going on? OTB. I think again it delayed just like last week, so.
I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Going on, OTB Nation. Welcome in to episode number 298 of Underground Sports. We got the main pod tonight. That's on my brain. I was just in business stuff. Episode number 298 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast. See what happens when we don't record at the darkest hours of the evening. The sun is still out and it's messing with our mojo. Because we're doing more work than we should on Thanksgiving Eve.
That means we're getting the third and unhinged episode in a week. In a row.
As our hero and our goat, Mike Breen, would say, bang! Welcome in, everybody. We got a fun one for you.
I had to put in an audio disclaimer right there, like
headphone users beware.
Headphone users and high volume radio users, turn it down if you're not.
You're on an 11. We're gonna have you bring it down to like a 6.
You blow them speakers out, my boy.
They just got the subwoofers. We got a fun one for you. We're gonna continue our NLL season preview as we are 1 week away from game action. Our big dog called it a career in the box game. We'll dive into what that means for his field career and what that means potentially for his availability in February at the St. James for the championship series. And it's also DJ's favorite week of the year because it's Thanksgiving week. And he's got a big one on deck, so I'm going to give him his soapbox to talk about the big one. But before we get into all of that, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTBLaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. You can follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. You can follow me at KBIZZL311, but you can't follow Redwoods fan extraordinaire Stephen McAvoy because his account got hacked by some sort of foreign porn bot.
No way. Is that what happened?
We don't know what happened. I checked today and his profile picture is just a bunch of Asian letters now, and his bio has changed to a bunch of Asian characters. And previously, his profile picture was changed to a very blurry picture of a Lamborghini, and his Twitter banner was like a fighter jet. And now it's like, we don't know what happened. So if there's anybody out there that works for the site formerly known as Twitter, that can help us recover our boy's account, please hit our line. You can follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you download and consume your podcasts in audio form. I know by the time you guys are listening to this, you're Black Friday shopping, whether it's at home or online. So subscribe. It's the most free thing you can do to help us continue to grow. when you're, you know, hanging out with friends and family this weekend, have them subscribe. They should already be subscribed, but if they're not, have them subscribe. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. We are currently, Deej, at 637 subscribers. We are 13 away from our Thanksgiving goal of 650. As long as we hit 650 by the end of Turkey Day, I will be very thankful for our progress on YouTube so far. So 13 more of you, hit that subscribe button, and then after that, continue subscribing as we're on that road to 1,000 subscribers, where we are one of the few podcasts still on our network that we still have to determine what we're going to do for 1K. We'll figure it out.
1v1s?
If you want me to die and then there's no more episodes of the pod.
You would not die. It's just me and you. I wouldn't go
that hard. Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't go that hard.
Brother, my AARP card is so close to being in the mail.
Stop it. You still got like 20 years.
Dude, I woke up this morning, as we record this Wednesday afternoon, I woke up this morning with morning soreness. My mom told me, my ankle felt like it was shattered the way I was walking. And for anybody that knows me, you know I have had some feet issues this year. And my mom's like, is it hurt again? I was like, no, my ankle is just so fucking sore. And I was like, it's morning soreness. It's called I'm old. And she was like, you can't be doing that. I have that. That's not good news for you. I was like, gee, thanks. Rub it in more. I was like, I inherited this and the foot problems from you. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, I ain't got all that yet. I'm still young.
Cherish it. Enjoy it.
I'm trying.
Don't want to be like me when you grow up.
Nah, that bit's still running strong, my guy.
The strength in me is running real thin.
I just ain't said it recently. We'll figure it out, though. I think we'll find out.
Yes. Something. If anybody knows the location of the Fountain of Youth, hit my line ASAP.
Yeah, for real. Keep this man young as long as possible.
Yes. So subscribe to the YouTube channel if you want me to continue being young. That may be the Fountain of Youth. We may just need YouTube subscribers.
I like the sound of that.
Get your merch as well. PHIapparel.co, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the sales from PHI Apparel Company are always the best. Gear up. Get your OTB merch. I'm going to be ordering an OTB hoodie this week to finally have that for when we're on the road during these cold winter months, you know, in the Northeast. It's unpredictable as ever. You never know. But it's hoodie season, and that means you got to get your OTB hoodies. You guys, it's just you prepare for the cold. Us, you could prepare for it, and then it's just hot as days. Or the weather says it's going to be hot, and then you walk outside, and it's a hurricane.
See, that's how I know your brother really ain't unpredictable. Because why are you looking at the weather? Why are you looking at the app or on the TV? Because guess what? We don't do that. Peek outside or walk out there. That's the only way you can really know what's going on.
You see, 99% of the time I'm down here in the studio, and you've been down here, there's no windows.
And it is cold. It's always cold in that basement, first off. But still, that's beyond the point. We don't look at weather apps. We just walk outside. Because our weather truly is unpredictable. Come spend a few months up here and tell me if you know anything about
them. Months?
See, yeah, you don't even like the sound of that, do you?
No, I like my bed.
We can bring that.
Who are we going to call up, Tommy?
Get
the U-Haul.
Get that U-Haul out here.
If you know, you know.
I saw him tweet not too long ago, so I do not think it's a fever dream.
The boy's alive. That's good news. That's good news. Shout out Tommy Burch. I hope he listens to this episode so bad.
Oh, dude, we are so unhinged.
Get your merch, though. Hoodies, shirts. If you're a Philly sports fan, gear up. They've got some of the best merch available. Hopefully, our Duck mascot shirt and hoodie will be up sooner rather than later. I'm going to check in on that once we finish this recording, actually. Go to phiapparel.co, use code UNDERGROUND. You get 10% off your order at all times of the year, any day of the week, 24/7, 365. But I'm sure by the time you guys are listening to this, we'll be promoting it out the wazoo on social for the Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals from PHI Apparel Company. Support a small local business. Support your favorite podcast. Go get your merch. And when you get it, tag us, tweet at us. We want to see where you're rocking your merch from. Deej, I'll let you get your soapbox now before we get into the NLL season preview part two, which is, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you should. But we're going to break down predictions and a preview for the East Coast teams in the NLL. But, Deej, you've got a big one this weekend on Saturday. Michigan, Ohio State.
Talk to the
all,
people.
For all the marbles.
Talk to them for like 30 seconds.
For all the marbles, it's the big one. The number two versus the number three team in the country. Both undefeated, both vying for that Big Ten championship. Deej, I just have one thing to say about this game. Not that I have any allegiances. I want success for you, obviously. But I hope you feel the same way I feel about this game. It's absolutely criminal to the players on both teams that this game is not under the lights in prime time, 7, 8 o'clock Eastern, and it's a noon kickoff. I get TV deals. I get all that. We need to be able to flex some of the – because if you know me, everybody, I'm not a college football guy. I'm very casual. Unless I know somebody playing on that team or something of that nature or the playoffs, I'm not watching college football. It's just not for me. This is a game that if it's on at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, on Saturday, no less, during Thanksgiving weekend, I can pop in some leftovers. I'm sitting down and watching that in prime time, and we're making sure that's on the TV. It's criminal to the kids on both teams, these young men who have played so well this season, to not get this game under the lights in prime time for the whole country to watch.
Okay. I understand your sentiment with that, but I actually do disagree, because for everybody not SEC or Pac-12, prime time is noon. Because people get up later, they aren't moving around yet. You don't have the distraction of Alabama and Georgia playing. You don't have the distraction of a good Big 12 team playing. They're the best. Like, Big Noon is Big Noon because of the matchup that they get. Like, if that makes sense. Like, when it comes to college football, there are three different prime times. Everybody's watching one game at noon, one game at 3:30, one game at 7:30. I guess four, because everybody's also watching whatever game is worthy of watching in the Paction late night. Late night Paction at 10:30 at night that we all fall asleep on. But I'm cool with the noon kickoff, truly. The entire country will be watching because no one else worth a damn is playing at noon. So the entire country will be watching. I'm okay with it.
It just feels like one of those games that, like, it feels like one of the biggest college football games.
Yeah, but they would lose viewers because
in a long time.
Alabama Auburn's at 7:30.
Should flex that shit out of 7:30.
Hey.
I am not trying to watch a 15-point favorite Alabama team at 7:30. I don't care that it's the Iron Bowl. This should tell you all you need to know about.
You are invested in this, so like you don't get it. I don't want to wait till 7:30 to watch this game.
But like the build up and the pomp and circumstance of
The build up.
But tell me,
build up and
does it feel like the biggest college football game, like in ever? The last two yes. decades, at it's least.
It's the biggest college football game every year because it's the game.
Well, I'm saying, like, this particular one in general, like, has, like, yeah, a I'm different gonna feel.
I'm going to touch on that in a second. But, like, the buildup has been happening since last November, since mm-hmm. the game last November. So, like, we don't need any more buildup. If it was up to Michigan, Ohio State, we'd be playing this game 8 o'clock sharp. Let's get to it. Let's go. But, like, it's not. We play at noon, and that's early enough for everybody because – I'll tell you, tailgates get started here at 5, 6 a.m. It is bananas up here for Michigan, Ohio State. Now my feelings. The thing I'm upset about is that this game is going to be – like the kids are going to be overshadowed by all the rumors on both sides about this. That's what this game is going to end up being more about, and that makes me upset. There are so many phenomenal athletes on both sides, on both teams, and that's what this game should be about, but it's going to end up being about – if Ryan Day actually got a private investigator and Jim Harbaugh not being there and did Michigan cheat and blah, blah, blah. Shut up. No one cares. Regardless of everything happening around those 18 to 26-year-old men, they still have to go out and play football against other 18 to 26-year-old men and execute. That's what the game of football is about. The kids, the men that are out there executing. They're going out and putting in the work, and they're making it happen. So forget everything else. Let this game be about the boys. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Michigan's done a great job of blocking everything out already. I just hope that they get away from the short passing game that they've been giving up. We can't afford to do that with Ohio State. Their passing game is way too good. We have to play a very balanced attack on defense. Don't allow the short game to just gobble up yards because that's how Maryland ate us up.
I see what you did there. Gobble. It's Thanksgiving week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly how Maryland got at us last week. And we know how good Ohio State is. And then they got to come out and establish the run game early. I don't want them to do what they get against Penn State, which they could. Don't get me wrong. They can come out and run the ball every single play and not throw it and probably still win this game. Just to be pure asshole. Like, we are bigger, stronger, faster, better than you. But I don't think they're going to do that, and I hope they don't. But I think early, you come out and you prove you're going to win in the trenches today. It is your line of scrimmage, and that's on both sides of the ball. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking at the trenches very early. Michigan has to win that. I think Michigan wins, but I think it's close. 7-14, really no more than that. Not like it's been the last couple of years where it's been 20-plus. I think 14 or less, but I think Michigan comes out on top. We get through Iowa the following week in the Big Ten championship game. And then we wait for Sunday selection and see how things shake out. But this weekend, an all-time high for Michigan sports. Hold on.
Where'd it go? I have a list of them somewhere here. If I can find it. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Obviously, Michigan plays Ohio State. Michigan State plays Penn State at Ford Field. The Lions are playing the Packers at Ford Field. The Wings are hosting the New Jersey Devils at LCA. Michigan State is playing Arizona. The Pistons play the Pacers, and Michigan plays Memphis. That's all between tonight, as we record on Wednesday, and Sunday night. I'm going to be okay. I pray the Packers lose because for whatever reason, my fantasy team is tied to their success. The better the Packers play, the worse my fantasy team is. It's unreal. I've lost 4 games this year. How many wins do the Packers have this year?
4.
Guess which weeks I've lost in fantasy. The four weeks the Green Bay Packers have won football games. You can't tell me it's not a direct correlation. So the Lions, I'm a... I'm a Lions fan this week, my guy. Run it up. Lions by a billion. Because I need to keep my first seed in fantasy.
We're thriving. We're thriving right now as an Eagles fan. And you'll be able to hear all about that on the main pod that comes out on Thanksgiving. So turn that up your Thanksgiving morning when you're getting all your food ready. Shout out to the birds. Go birds, baby.
Yeah, but if the Michigan loses, don't talk to me on Saturday. I promise you're not going to want to say a word to me.
I just have one thing to say in an opposing manner. I just hope my guy, Maserati, stop. Plays well.
You could have just said, say his full name, and I'm cool with it. Don't do the nickname thing. Me and Gus not on good terms this week. Because I already know he's about to be saying it, and I don't want to hear all that.
It's one of the funniest things that was just like out of thin air fabricated. No one has ever called him Maserati Marv in his life.
That's what Gus does, bro. Like the Great, why? You could have picked any other name to call this man.
But yeah, shout out Marvin Harrison Jr. He's a
He is. He's one of the best wide receiver prospects we may have ever seen. Truly, I love the guy. I just wish he was rocking maize and blue instead. I would have liked if he was at Penn State. He'd get drafted still. It wouldn't be his fault they can't throw the ball.
let's get into our NLL season preview part two. One other thing, though, before we get into that. We do have confirmation. We don't have a date yet, but friend of the program, part of the OTB coaching staff, and head coach of the Philadelphia Water Dogs, Andy Copeland, will be on the flagship program, Underground Sports Philadelphia, probably sometime after either Thanksgiving or in the new year. Has agreed to come on the pod, so it's going to be very fun to have Andy Copeland in the mix on Philadelphia's finest podcast for Philly sports with myself and Matt Castorina. So all of our OTB faithful, show out when that episode pops up in your feeds on YouTube and in podcast form, and show Cope some love, and Philly fans, show Cope some love. He's the best. Let's get into our season preview. Before we break down the teams, though, Deej, have you seen this discourse online of the NLL Top 50 stuff?
Yeah.
Woo-wee!
But I'm going to say this, right? When you look at all the lists that come out, right, every list looks different.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches' list looks different from the GM's list, which looks different from the owner's list, which looks different from the player's list, which looks different from the fan's list, which looks different from the media list, because all of those people look for different things when pointing out who's good and who's not. So I understand a lot of us are confused on why certain people are on certain lists, except Roost, because
Jacob Roue, known legendary defender in the NLL. Congrats.
I ain't even been watching the NLL long enough for me
to know. Happens in Vegas apparently stays in Vegas.
It does. It does. But, you know, they just look for different things. So, like, for the most part, the people we believe to be the best goaltenders, the best forwards, etc., aren't quite exactly what a coach is going to look for. Because a coach may see all the things we see, but then there's that one thing that they're like, this is what makes a great face-off guy over a good face-off guy, and this is why I'm picking this guy over that guy. Whereas we have different ideas of what's great and what's good. So, yes, they're wrong, because it's opinion. Mm-hmm. So opinions can be right to that person and wrong to someone else. So I get the discourse, but, like, take a step back, everybody. Look at it with a grain of salt and realize – that if they put out a fan poll, the list would look very different because we all would vote differently than the coaches do.
Yeah, my biggest gripe was Zach Higgins was not mentioned in the top five goalies, which I think is just criminal because Higgy's a fucking baller. Even when he was a backup in Buffalo, he was a beast. And since he's come to the Wings, he's worked his way into goalie of the year conversations year in and year out.
See, that's what I don't like about this list is there weren't enough spots for goalies.
Agreed.
When you have 15 teams and each team has two goalies on their roster, you got 30 guys. Those are literally the best 30 guys in the world. Mm-hmm. So picking five is basically crazy. Impossible. So it's like, of course, no matter how they would have cut this cake, somebody would have been upset. because somebody who deserves to be on the list, well, quite a few people who deserve to be on the list aren't going to be because there just weren't enough spots. Probably same thing with Faceoff because they're only doing five for Faceoff as well.
Terry got robbed too. Ryan Tarafenko got
In the that transition.
Mind-blowing.
But it's a little bit easier to do transition defense forward because you have three, four, five guys, if not more, at that position. So you have hundreds of players to choose from. So now it's easier to narrow down and say, okay, these guys are doing it much better than everybody else.
Ryan Tarafenko, career year incoming for the brand.
I could see it. Maybe he gets shipped out to the Mammoth.
Terry? I don't think so. He loves it in Halifax.
But I'm thinking about...
They got Capito back, though.
PLO? And if that influences his decision, it's not like Halifax is bad, but the Mammoth are good?
I think if that were to... Halifax would have to be bad for that to happen. They'd have to be in a weird situation where, they're... 5 or 6 games under .500. And even now, you look at what happened with Georgia last year where it was oh, there's no shot Georgia's making the playoffs. They were what? They were the last team to get a win. They were 1-8 at one point last year, if I'm not mistaken. And then they get back to .500, ruin the Wings' chances of getting in the playoffs and play spoiler because they just went on a run. I feel like that's an anomaly in the NLL compared to what normally happens. But I feel like that occurrence that happened last year is going to stick in every team's mind this year when it comes to trade deadline, when it comes to roster construction, and be like, even if we're down, we're not out per se, especially now with the unified standings where it's just everybody's in the mix. I feel like a lot of teams approach to, especially the trade deadline and just how their team is constructed, if they want to go sign a free agent midseason or an injury happens, they're going to have the mindset of, sure, we're down one of our guys, but we're not out because look what Georgia did last year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it was just more along the lines Halifax is almost like Toronto at this point. They're good, very good, and then they just get to the cusp and can't ever get over the ledge. And it's Colorado has gotten over the ledge. And, they're not going backwards with Dylan Ward there. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's maybe that just entices him to move out there if he's going to stay with the Outlaws. I don't know what that.
I think he's under contract through the upcoming PLL season. So,
He might try and take advantage of, the Bulls. And move out and play for Atlas because that's closer to New York and kind of live maybe somewhere middle between Halifax and...
He's also a PA guy.
York.
Right outside of Philly.
Yeah, I would just... He's kind of a guy that I would look to make a jump to a contending team that may help him also in the PLL.
Say Halifax isn't a... Oh, you're saying PLL-wise. Okay, yeah.
Well, either or, really, one or the other.
That's you not saying that Halifax isn't a contending team.
Right, or that the Outlaws aren't, just that he might be in a position where he's had a really good year, and now he's okay, I want to think about being able to play at the highest level and compete at the highest level on both sides, and maybe that's moving over to this team so I can live in this area and travel less to play. And that's kind of where my mind's going with a lot of these NLL guys is either they're going to drop out, like we'll talk about a little bit later with a guy, and choose to retire, or they'll just move one of the either PLL or NLL so that they're in a space where they're traveling less to not worry about, the jet lag and such and play better ball because they're able to practice more and such.
Yeah. I mean, I did see a tweet. I haven't seen this is criminal. This is criminal. I'm looking at the transaction wire for the NLL real quick because I saw a tweet saying a lot of American guys are disappearing from PL or from NLL rosters this preseason, whether it's retirement, holdout list, whatever it may be. Georgia Swarm released an all-name team guy. this week, Deej. Travis Braveheart.
A lot of all-team name guys been getting released. I don't know what's going on.
Raw end of deals. Not cool. But let's get to our season preview part two. It's the East Coast teams. We did the West Coast last week, so we're going to go through each of the East Coast teams, kind of hit some quick points on their off season, some key pickups, whatever it may be, and then determine if they are a playoff team or not now that we have the unified standings. So for everybody at home who needs to know who is in the East, it is the Albany Firewolves. It is Buffalo, the defending champs. It is Halifax. It is Toronto. It is Philadelphia. It's New York. It is Georgia. And who am I forgetting? Rochester. Duh. So yeah, Albany, Buffalo, Halifax, Toronto, Philly, New York, Georgia, Rochester are your eight teams in the East Coast of your map. We'll start with Albany. It's going to be an interesting year for them. I mean, we can get right to it. Our guy, the boy, Kira McArdle, this week announced his retirement from the NLL after six seasons. Spend more time with his family. Obviously, if you know Kieran, he's a gym teacher in Washington Heights in New York. So he's got his teaching schedule as well. So family time hasn't been, as prominent with all of his traveling for PLL, for NLL, with Team USA. He's got a baby now. Decision makes a ton of sense. It sucks just from a selfish point of view that we don't get to see one of the best lacrosse players playing the sport that he loves at a high level, because in 6 years, Kira McArdle was unbelievable in the box game. 250 points, if I'm not mistaken, over 200 loose balls. A huge pivotal piece of when the New York Riptide came into the mix, and then getting shipped to Albany last year, he was, a big part of the successes that they had. Congratulations to the boy on one hell of an NLL career in 6 years. So they lose out on Kira McArdle this year. Charlie Kitchen has been placed on the holdout list. Albany, I will say, gets a boost in terms of swagger this year, Deej, because I don't know if we talked about this or not. Albany's got new uniforms this year, and they are much improved.
I ain't seen them yet.
They are much improved from what they were once wearing. I will find a picture of them to send to you so you can see them. But one big bonus for the Albany Firewolves this year, Deej, is that they should be getting the boy back from his ACL injury, Joe Nardella. And it's going to be very fun to see Joey Nards back playing lacrosse for the first time in a long time. They also have Alex Simmons on the roster. They also have Ty Kurtz, who we saw play with Chaos over the summer. They have Sam Firth, new to the team. They have Cam Bedore, new to the team. They also have, looking through their free agent signings, Andrew Kidd, great last name. So some new faces on this Albany team. You know, they shipped out Connor Kelly to the Colorado Mammoth. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I feel like Albany is such a fascinating team because they are always frisky. And let's also not forget Brett Manny, also retired, captain of that team and a big piece of Albany Firewolves history. They're such an interesting conundrum in the NLL where they play certain teams tough and then they get absolutely embarrassed in other matchups that they have. They're so unpredictable. And I don't know what they have in store for us this season.
I agree. It was really weird trying to pick their games last week. I think their games threw me on a lot of curveballs because there are games where they go out and the score would be like 6-8. And then the next game they'd lose like 12-4. And I'm like, what are you doing? But a lot of that had to do with like moving pieces and just chemistry and that piece. So I expect to see a little bit better things this year, but shout out to Kieran, wonderful career in the NLL. Excited to continue seeing him in the PLL. Definitely think he's going to play some possible sixes, you know, come February. I don't see why not at this point. But I don't, not a big fan of the jerseys. I don't like that they took away the red.
They still have, I think this is just their new.
Yeah. But like, you got to keep the red in there somewhere. Even if it's a touch here and there, like you got it. Cause like so many teams are getting away from the color in the NLL. Like there's just so like, I mean, excluding the Roughnecks who look fantastic in grayscale. There's just so many just like golden black, like not much color there really. Desert Dogs, white and black, not much color. These are black and gold. No real color there. Like I want to see more color. That's the exciting part of having color in your logo. Use it.
Yeah. I mean, they still have it in a lot of their merch, and I think their white jersey is still with the maroon that they have. So we'll see. Some notable names on this roster, though, for Albany. Obviously, Joe Nardella should be making his return. Travis Longboat on this roster. Leo Storos now with Albany, formerly with the New York Riptide. Jackson Reed, who we've seen play in the PLL with the Whipsnakes. Marshall Palace is now with Albany. My guy, Jackson Nishimura, back with the squad. Colton Watkinson, Ty Logan. Obviously, they still have Dougie Jameson in net. John Piatelli, who's a big name to watch. I think box season this year for him could really help his case, whether it's with the Redwoods or another team, to crack a PLL game day roster. Jake Fox with Albany still. Ethan Walker, obviously. Ty Kurtz. I think that connection could be very interesting for this squad with the Canadian boys of Ethan Walker and Ty Kurtz together in Albany. That could be fun dynamics on their offense to watch. I don't think Albany's a playoff team, especially with the unified standings. I think it hurts them even more because there's so many good teams. And it's not to say that Albany's not a good team. It's just one of those things where I don't think they have the overall talent to be able to make it in a unified standings playoffs like some of these other teams do.
Oh, I don't think so either, but I think they're going to make a jump. Their defense looked really good last year. I think that continues. I believe Dougie James is coming back for another year, but I may be wrong on that. Yep. He's going to be in the pipes, and I trust that side. And with Joe Nardella coming back, he knows the cadence, knows how face-off and loose balls and transition works. He's going to be able to help that group out and get that group back up and running. And then the big question mark this year is going to be offense without a lot of key parts. Who steps up? Who are they going to run through? What does that offense look like? And with a question mark like that in a league like this where you have Georgia with a star-studded offense, even the Riptide went out and got a ton of help on offense. Rochester looks good on offense. The Wings look good. The Seals, the Roughnecks are still scoring a lot of points. Toronto, I haven't even mentioned them yet. Like, that's
the mammoth offense.
That's more than half the teams right there in the league. If you don't have an offense that can compete, you're in trouble. I got to say that they will not make the playoffs.
Yeah. Moving on to the defending champions of the world, the Buffalo Bandits. Have most of the team running it back. They do have some very key injuries back on defense for them this year. So if you're a left-handed defenseman or a right-handed defenseman or a defenseman in general, maybe you're ambidextrous, give the Buffalo Bandits a call. You might make a roster. Because Adam Bomberry is out for a significant amount of time, potentially the entire season, which is a huge loss for their defense. And then Bryce Sweeting is, I believe, also out for the season, back on defense for the Buffalo Bandits. But they're running it back. Matt Vince back on a 2-year deal this offseason. They also have tons of guys coming back. Maybe you've heard of them, Deej. Tahoka Nanticoke, Chris Kluche, Ian McKay, Max Adler, Brad McCulley, Sam LaRue, Nick Weiss, Josh Byrne, Justin Martin, Steve Priolo, Matt Spanger, Dalton Solver, Justin Robinson, Kyle Buchanan, Dane Smith, and Chase Frazier. You ever heard of them? They're all back with the Buffalo Bandits. I mean, this team is, they are, as they say in college basketball, rock chalk Jayhawk. They are running it back, doing what you should do when you have a championship roster like this. And I think it's clear to say that the Buffalo Bandits are most certainly a playoff team, but they're going to have to get creative and get some back-end help for Matty Vince back there with the defense, with the injuries.
I think a lot of the transition guys will kind of just, I think transition is a lot easier to replace than defense. So I think you take some of your transition guys, convert them into defenders for the meantime until you can find defenders. If you don't find some before the season, and then you deal with your roster once you are able to find defensemen to fill that spot. But realistically, the Bandits are in very good shape to make the playoffs. They have all the pieces they need. I just don't know if they're going to make the same run they've made in the past.
Yeah, they're just going to need it from a depth perspective, too. Like, Adam Bomberry and Bryce Sweeting are obviously, like, key pieces to this team, and they're defensive starters for damn near every team in the league. So, you know, wouldn't surprise me if the Buffalo Bandits try to swing a trade with a team that may be falling out of playoff contention early, or, you know, trying to pick somebody up off of waivers and making a move here or there. So definitely keep your eyes on that. But 100% Buffalo Bandits, no notes, playoff team. We'll see them competing, trying to repeat as champions of the world. Let's move on to the Halifax Thunderbirds, a team that we talk about a ton on this program because they are very talented. They have a lot of proving to do, I think, in the postseason realm of things. They are very San Diego Seals adjacent, where they are very, very good in the regular season. The playoffs have come around since the move to Halifax. This is not referring to any of their championship runs as the former Rochester Nighthawks. But since the Halifax Thunderbirds have come through, the playoffs have been a struggle for them. Obviously, they're running it back with a lot of dudes on this squad. Ryan Benesch is back, Clark Peterson, Austin Shanks. Cole Kirst is with the Thunderbirds. I stand corrected from last week's episode. I thought he was with Vegas as well with his brothers. No, he is a Thunderbird and looks poised to make that roster. So that's going to be very fun to watch Kirstie there. Randy Stotts is back. Bo Hunter is back. I think he's going to take a huge leap forward this year in that offense. Cody Jameson is back. Obviously, Graham Hossick is back. It's going to be fun to see Jake Withers playing lacrosse again. Feels like it's been 84 years since we've seen him. Nankun Thompson is back. Ryan Tarafanko, like we mentioned, he's going to have a breakout year. Luke Magnin is back, friend of the program. Colton Armstrong, Trevor Smith, Tyson Bell, the boy, he's back. Warren Hill back in net for the Thunderbirds as well. How are we feeling about Halifax this year, Deej?
I think they're going to end up being very similar to what they have been the last couple years. And what's tough about that is you look at their offense. It is stacked. They have everything you need offensively to be very, very good and possibly win a championship. They got a strong goalie in net with Warren Hill. You have arguably one of the best faceoff men in the world in Jake Withers. Your defense has Graham Hossick and many other great defenders, yet they can't break through. And I don't see that changing this year because, like, they haven't made many changes to their team unless, you know, we come out and we see a different kind of offensive and defensive scheme and those kind of things, which we obviously wouldn't be able to know yet if they've made changes to those. But from the outside looking in, they haven't made quality changes that would make you believe they're going to win in the playoffs yet. So I think they make it, but I think they're bounced earlier than they would like to be.
Yeah, they're going to be an interesting, like, team to just pay attention to all year. They have the talent to get it done. It's just a matter of getting it done. I think they're a playoff team, and it's just, you know, kind of prove it to us in the playoffs that you can get it done in the playoffs. So we're yeses across the board there as well for our Halifax making it, Deej. Which brings us to, I think, a team that a lot of people are viewing as a preseason favorite to hashtag win it all and get over the hump of a championship drought, and that is the Toronto Rock, a team that has made tons of moves this offseason to bolster their roster, to get even more talent in surrounding the faces of that franchise. Tom Schreiber, Latrell Harris, obviously out for the season, but one of the faces of that team, and Chalen Rogers. Toronto, some big moves this offseason, one that kind of sparked the offseason, and that was when they went and traded for Mark Matthews. They brought in Chris Bushy. Dan Craig is back. Mitch Disneau is back. You have TD Erlin at the dot, at the stripe, doing his thing. Josh Jubenville is back on defense. Dan Littner, Justin Martin, Mark Matthews, like we mentioned, Cam Milligan, Phil Mazuka is back. Nick Rose, obviously, back as your goaltender. Brandon Slade, back. Corey Small, back. Shout out to the boy. This team is scary. This team should be on high alert whenever they're playing the Toronto Rock because I think they are a juggernaut this season. Something I think would be very fun for us to do this year is those tier ranking lists and make our own tiers and every week put out each team in a specific tier because I think that would be absolutely hilarious for the engagement on socials. But Deej, I think Toronto is obviously a playoff team for me, but I think they are a team that is poised to, if things go well for them, get at least to the championship game.
Really?
I feel they are built for success. I think they went and made power moves and are doing the thing that I think if you're a fan of any sports team, you want to see your front office do that. You don't go and trade for Mark Matthews. You don't go and get Chris Bushy. You don't, you know, build around a core that you had intact and then add to it in that capacity. You don't go and get Dan Littner in free agency. You don't go and get Justin Martin on that back end on defense if you don't feel like this roster is built to win a championship. I think Toronto, on paper, has one of the best rosters in the league to pair off with a Buffalo, a San Diego. Like, Toronto, I think, is the real fucking deal.
I agree. I think Toronto's really good. Going and getting Mark Matthews is one of those, we are trying to win a championship this year moves or next year. Because, like, let's be honest here. Mark Matthews is great and was still doing great things for the Rush. But he's near the end of his career. And he's only got a couple more years left. And I think this was both sides coming together and saying, hey, look at our team. Like the Rock are like, hey, look at our team. We've been there, but just can't get over the hump. We're ready to make that step. We think you can help with that. Mark Matthews is like, well, I got a couple more years left. I kind of need to, well, I don't need to, but I would like to win another championship. Where are some places that can help me with that? And boom, there they go. Married in unison over wanting to win a championship. And he comes in and bolsters that offense hugely. The one thing that's scary about The Rock is no Latrell Harris.
Yes.
He was a very big piece of that team. Defensive player of the year last year, was making strides and was like a glue piece for the defense and transition pieces of this team. They're going to have to replace his energy, his leadership, his skill. If they're able to do that, they're in good shape. But really, nobody's Treasy, so it's going to be interesting to see how they go about trying to fill that hole, and that may end up being the one thing that brings them down this year.
Yeah, I think we can all concur, though.
I say I like playoffs in a long run.
This
could be the year they make it to the championship. I don't know if they win it, but they could definitely make it.
And to just check our track record here, we had three teams as definite yeses from the West Coast making it to the playoffs. You had four because you had Panther City in the mix. You now have seven teams in. I have six with four to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one playoff spot left. I have two. Let's go to a team that is definitely in need to get to the playoffs and succeed mode. That is my Philadelphia Wings. Team that also has done a lot this offseason to ultimately have a facelift. Whether it's good or bad, who knows? It remains to be seen on the floor, but a lot of moves have happened with my Philadelphia Wings since they last took the floor last NLL season. Trevor Baptiste is gone. Kyle Matisse is gone. Matt Rambo is on the holdout list. Who knows if he plays this year? That remains to be seen. Holden Cotone, welcome to Philadelphia. You're reunited with your brother. Signed a 3-year contract. Huge move. Power move to improve this offense that needed just some juice. You know, you brought in Mitch Jones last year, which I think was priority number one, and it obviously was this offseason, was to re-sign him. You did that. Lot of new pieces, though, and I'm going to go through their roster as it stands right now. You'll get Ryan Wagner back off that injury, and I think his injury last year really impacted the Wings defense down the stretch without him there. It really was an obvious hole on the back end for their defense. Chad Tutton is back. You have Eric Shule back. Christian Scarpello on the roster. Shout out to the boy. Alex Pace, one of the most underrated defenders in the league, is back, friend of the program. Marcus Minichiello, who I think is going to make huge strides in a full year in a Wings uniform, is back. Ian Lord is back again. He's battling father time and winning. Scott Domini, now a member of the Philadelphia Wings on that defense. I think that's a underrated pickup from that three-team trade. I think Scott Domini is going to play a pivotal role in the Wings defense. Isaiah Davis Allen, obviously huge. Alex Krepinsek is back. You have Mitchell Armstrong, the boy, big body, big dog, BR10, Blaze Reardon, Joe Resiteritz, Ben McIntosh, Sam LeClaire. Like I mentioned, Mitch Jones, Tate Cotone, Holden Cotone, Zach Higgins, and then your new transition faceoff man. Only one on the roster, officially, I believe, Mike McCannell from San Diego, who had a phenomenal rookie year last year. Because the only other listed transition player on the roster, Deej, is one Brian Costabile.
I saw that. That was interesting.
He hasn't had a pick
yet. Yeah, he's been on the roster since we drafted him, hasn't played. Who knows if he ever will. It would be fun if he did, but with his impending PLL free agency, I doubt he's going to be playing this year in particular in the NLL. Lots of interesting moves, lots of change in Philadelphia. It's a big-time new era. Blaze is really the only guy left from the original Wings roster, which is crazy to think about, with Rambo on the holdout list. This is a big make-or-break year, I think, for this iteration of the Philadelphia Wings. You bring in Mitch Jones, that's a huge move last year that really revitalized the offense. And we talked about that a ton last year post-trade, how Mitch Jones really changed the look of the offense. You have your big four up top coming in before Holden Cotone came in of Blaze, Mitch Jones, Ben McIntosh, Joe Rest-Terrence. Those guys are all going to have 25-plus goals this season at minimum because of just based off the talent they have alone. You're also going to need guys to step up like Sam LeClair. Holden Cotone now in the mix. That's another 30-plus goal scorer a year type of guy. The Wings have the offense to do it. It's put up or shut up time on the back end for the Wings. The defense has always been the question mark for them. You have to be able to protect one of the best goaltenders in the league. You can't let him be left out to dry like he has in so many games. And the Wings have the talent to go on a deep run. It's just a matter of putting consistent gameplay together. I think they're a playoff team this year. I think they have the talent to do it. I think their schedule helps them a little bit with that in who they play. Now I'll just go out and do it. I have the Wings making the playoffs.
You might be thoroughly surprised with what I'm going to say. But I'm locking the Wings in as my eighth and final playoff team.
Bang! Look at that.
They, of the teams left remaining, are the most well-rounded team. And that's the reason why I have them sneaking in. I think it's going to come down to beating Georgia in a nail biter, having a couple tough wins over a New York Riptide team, having a close win over a Rochester team. And then who's that last one I was thinking about? They are the last team. How they're the fourth. Just those beating those three are going to be very important to the Wings. Those games are going to be more important than every other game because it's going to, that last spot, in my opinion, is going to come down to that group. And I guess with the unified standings, we're also talking about a tough game against Panther City, tough game against Las Vegas as well. Those are games you have to win.
Two tough games against Calgary.
I think you can afford to lose one of those. You want to win them both, but I'm thinking of ones that like they need to win. Tough games they need to win. I think you end up playing Vancouver or Saskatchewan. Those are games you're looking to win. Any chance you get over the bottom half of the league, you're looking to solidify that spot. So those are the games I'm going to be watching for them more than anybody. But as of right now, they're more well-rounded than those other teams in the bottom half. So I'm trusting them to sneak in around 7 or 8.
Yeah, I have them getting in, but it is a big year, I think, for the entire organization because you made the playoffs once so far in the return of Philadelphia Wings lacrosse, and you've put the pieces in place to where you can succeed and be a consistent playoff team. Now it's time to show that you can do it. Speaking of teams that the Wings need to beat and a team that they will be playing on opening night, before we get to them, let's talk about our friends at Kenwood Beer, Deej, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia, of the Outside the Box podcast. Kenwood Beer, they are the best, and they're going to be on our table this Thanksgiving, faux show. Go to kenwoodbeer.com, use that Kenny Finder, see who has Kenwood Beer on tap if you're going out for Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Small Business Saturday, all that good stuff. See who's got Kenny's on tap when you take a break from your shopping. Go to your local liquor store. Get Kenny's for Thanksgiving. Go to kenwoodbeer.com. Check out their merch as well. Got to be 21 or older to do so, and you can get it in the Pennsylvania, meaning Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, New Jersey, and Maryland areas. Must be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. I'm sure the Kennys will be flowing this NLL season at the Wells Fargo Center because you can get them there as well. The New York Riptide are next up on our list, Deej, a team that has had high expectations, I think, every single year that they've been in the league and has kind of just fallen flat on those expectations in a lot of ways, where they've gotten overmatched in a ton of aspects down the stretch, but have been frisky as of late, have proven they can win big games, and they have made some huge moves this offseason. Very exciting also to see my guy, former Philadelphia Wing, former Rochester Nighthawk, Matt Bennett, my namesake, not related, is with the New York Riptide now. But they've made some big moves. They have they brought in Mike Burke last year, obviously. Curtis Conley with the Riptide now. Cam Dunkerley. I love Dunks. I was at that game that he started last season in his first start, and he is an electric factory back in net. Damon Edwards is back on the roster. Will he play? Who knows? JT Giles Harris. Love to see it. I would love to see it. The boy Ronjon is back with the squad. Connor Kiernan back with the squad. John LaFontaine now with the New York Riptide, reunited with Riley O'Connor. On the roster has a number. Deej, Dylan Malloy, the Riptide. Very exciting. Would be very fun to watch him play. Your boy, Brent Noseworthy. This team, obviously, they've got the superstar, Jeff Teat. They've got our guy, Larson Sundown. Jay Thornbear back with the team. They have a lot of proving to do. They went out and got talent. Mac Mitchell back with the squad as well. Kyle Matisse, like we mentioned, is with the Riptide now. I think that's huge for a leadership perspective. Very excited to see Kyle on December 2nd. But the Riptide are a team that have a lot to prove to a lot of people this year. This is another move, and we love the front office of the Riptide. Rich Lisk is a huge fan of the show. Has been since he was with the Black Wolves, and they've gone out and made some moves to really say, hey, we're ready to compete. Like, you don't go and get Kyle Matisse. You don't go and get, Jay Thornbear if you don't feel like this is an opportunity for you to open your championship window. I like this roster for the Riptide. They are very much a regular season, show me what you can do type of team. Show me that you can put together wins and compete. How are you feeling about your New York Riptide?
I would love to say they're going to make the playoffs this year, but I just don't trust it yet. I like a lot of the moves they made in free agency over the summer, a lot of the draft moves they made, and I like what they did in the trade deadline last year. They did, in my opinion, have made very good moves to better this team, set up a nice foundation that can build amongst each other and connect. I think the biggest thing is sometimes there's a age gap between the foundation on some of these teams. You got to decide, are we going to push for a little bit older and try and get this done now? Or are we just going to almost wash the board and go with the young guys and just establish something new? Seems like the Riptide are deciding to go with the young guys and almost wash this board and go with new things. So I'm excited to see what this team has this year. This is one of those, come out, learn each other, win some games, have some excitement, try and get some fans in the seats, and then keep progressing and look for next year to be even better.
So this is obviously a no for you because your playoff teams are locked in. New York feels like one of those teams that this is the year before the year. if that makes sense to everybody listening and watching at home. This feels like a team that is on the cusp of finally proving. Like, this is a year I feel like the Riptide finished, like, at 500 or, like, a game above 500. And then it's like, oh, the excitement's building. Like, we're ready to take that next step. I think there's a lot of chemistry, not issues, but, like, chemistry building that has to occur with this team still. You still have one of the best players on the planet, both box and field, and Jeff Teat on your roster. The chemistry he has with Larson Sundown and Riley O'Connor is phenomenal. So you have that in place. It's a matter of the other pieces coming in. You brought in a leader like Kyle Matisse, who I can speak from experience, Riptide fans, you're going to absolutely love Kyle Matisse. He is one of the best humans I have ever interacted with in this sport. The Riptide are not a playoff team for me as of this moment. For the preseason, would it shock me if they sneak into the playoffs, DJ? Absolutely not. It's one of those things that, like, they are going to be frisky all year, and we're going to be watching them to see what they're able to do. Maybe pull off an unexpected win, come from behind win, win in overtime in a game they shouldn't have won, but they do. Here's the beauty of sports, though. At the end of the day, a W is a W, an L is an L, and that's all anybody will remember. At the end of the day, I don't have the Riptide in the playoffs right now, but they are on the cusp for me. They are last weekend of the season. They're going to be fighting for that playoff spot, and it wouldn't shock me if they grab it. They are like first team out almost in the East right now for the playoffs.
Wow.
I like what they did this offseason.
Okay. All right.
It is, as Randy Jackson once said, it's going to be a no from me, dog.
Mm-hmm. He said that multiple times.
Moving on to one of the final two teams we have, the Georgia Swarm, the most thorn in my side team last season as a member of Philadelphia Wings media. They are back. A team that traditionally makes no sense. You have the best player on the planet, and last year was weird. Big move they made, though. They traded with the Philadelphia Wings and brought in Liam Burns. He is now part of that defensive core. Brendan Bomberry, the boy, is back with them as well. Brian Cole, back with them as well. Jordan McIntosh, who obviously retired from the PLL, is still playing NLL and is with the Georgia Swarm. Jeremy Thompson is back with the Swarm. Should have been PLL goalie of the year, potentially. Or finished runner-up. Brett Dobson, back for his sophomore season. Very excited to watch him continue to progress. Shane Jackson is back. Andrew Q is back with the squad. Seth Oakes, still on the roster. Not sure if he's playing or not. Miles Thompson. And obviously, Lyle is there. Do you know who else is on this Georgia Swarm roster? One of the Archer's pups, Piper Bond. Is on the squad. TJ and Chet Camizio, Jeff Henrik, John Rannigan is down with the Swarm, so the Chrome boys are reunited there. Mike Manley is with the Swarm. Jerry Stotts, Jerome Thompson, Ethan Riggs on that defensive end, Adam Wiedemann. Swarm have some players. They've got a very talented roster. They are frisky. They are frustrating for a lot of teams that they play. How are you feeling about the Swarm, Deej? Your boy, who is so good at lacrosse.
I know.
Kyle Thompson's Georgia Swarm.
I just don't trust him. That's the part that sucks. Is like, there are so many games that I felt they should have won in the last 2 years that they didn't. And there are games that I felt that they didn't have enough in that they did win. And I'm like, you guys are that team that just does the opposite of what I think you should do. It really grinds my gears. But I also think they're going to be like a thorn in the side team that's going to make every game worth watching, but also tough. Like, teams are going to constantly be in 1-2-3 goal games with Georgia instead of handling business, you know, 4-5-6-7 goals like a lot of teams think they should. They're going to be in very close games with Georgia. So it's going to be fun to see them battle. I just don't trust them enough to win enough games to make the playoffs.
They are quite an interesting team. I like the move for Liam Burns. I like that they still have this core intact, and I think last year going on that winning streak was huge for them. As annoying as it is to say, Deej, and I made sure I did my due diligence to double check here and see how things lined up. My final postseason team is going to be not the Georgia Swarm.
I was going to say, ain't no way.
I had to Rickroll the people. They are also one of those teams that are going to be frisky, annoying to your favorite team. They are going to cause havoc and make it annoying for your team to have a clear path to the playoffs. I still think they are going to be very much in the mix come the final week of the regular season. Would them making the playoffs shock me? Absolutely not, especially with the unified standings. But like Panther City, like I said last week, I think the unified standings kind of hurt Georgia in a way. But I mean, I think a lot of it is predicated on Brett Dobson having a standout sophomore season. They got to have the goaltending. It was a rough start for him last year, but then he caught fire, and we've seen the Brett Dobson we know and love now, through winning a PLL championship. It's going to be a lot of help on that back end and making sure that's solidified for them. I don't have Georgia in the playoffs. They are right there, though, and it wouldn't shock me if they get in. Georgia is just always a thorn in my side as a Wings guy. And they're fun. They're frisky. But you know what's fun to root for is fun teams. And I don't like having fun teams out of the playoffs. Not that Georgia isn't fun, but a team that is fun, team that was my league pass team last year, which Deej and I will declare our league pass teams next episode. It's the Rochester Nighthawks, Deej, the final team in our breakdown here. How you feeling about the old Nighthawks led by our guy, Connor Fields, Curtis Knight, Turner Evans, and the rest of those boys?
I don't know. I was looking at their roster, and like, from what I was seeing, a handful of those guys aren't there, which I found weird. It just, like, all I'm really seeing on this list right now is Turner Evans, Curtis Knight, Connor Fields,
Brylan Reese, Dan Schultz back, Ryan Smith. Can't count on Smithers.
Yeah, I mean, but we're looking at some of these other rosters and we're listing 10, 11, 12 guys, 13 guys, plus the goalies. Like, this team doesn't have that same appeal. Will they probably still be fun to watch? Yeah, because a lot of these guys have that not superstar, but not the worst guy chip on my shoulder, where it's like, I need to prove that I'm actually just as good as the guys that you think are superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they have enough. I don't think they're going to do what they did last year, where they came out and were storming through people and then they slowed down. I think they're going to have kind of just a pretty average season and end up somewhere around 500.
They did have a lot of big departures. Obviously, the boy, Big Doss, is in Colorado. Thomas Hogarth is with your Calgary Roughnecks. And the Nighthawks did make some big transaction moves as well on the training camp roster cutdowns this week. And I do have to say, another departure, Holden Cotone in trade with the Philadelphia Wings. The Wings have officially won that trade, though, Deej, I think, because Rochester Nighthawks released Hunter Lemieux this week. That's the guy that the Wings sent to Rochester for Holden Cotone. Also, great name, also released from the Nighthawks, Jake Doolittle. It's a great name. Why are we cutting all these great names?
Hey, people, they just ain't making the cut.
looking through just to make sure I didn't miss. Yeah, I mean, Toronto Rock released another all-name team. Brian Rice, our guy. All these all-name team guys getting cut. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year for Rochester. I still think they're frisky, and I think last year was a good indication of where this team can go. Hopefully Fields, he's healthy from his injury in the PLL playoffs. Ryan Smith, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the sport, not just box or field. I think he is just unbelievably talented. I think this is a big year for Rylan Reese to just take another step forward in the box game. And I think, you know, another thing is just finding that offense with the departures of Thomas Hogarth and guys like that, Holden Cotone. And you look at this offense right now, it's Turner Evans, it's Curtis Knight, it's Connor Fields, it's Austin Hazen, who's going to have to step up big time this year. And it's Smithers, and then you've got Rylan Reese, Joe Post, Matt Gilray in transition. I also just really like their goaltending, Rylan Hartley, Riley Hutchcraft. Those are dogs in the back end for them. It's going to be an interesting year. I think they are a fringe playoff team. The more and more I think about it, Deej, this pains me. I'm going to have to flip a switch. I'm with you on Rochester missing the playoffs now. The more and more I look at it and talk myself into it, they're going to be fun. They're going to be frisky. I still want them to succeed. We have friends on that squad, and we always want our friends to do well. I'm flipping my Georgia pick. Looking at these two rosters, Georgia's got the talent to make the playoffs. You have Lyle Thompson. You have Shane Jackson, Andrew Q, and the rest of those boys. Georgia's making the playoffs. They're my eighth and final team in the playoffs. So this is DJ's playoffs for the 2023-2024 NLL season. He's got the Colorado Mammoth, the Calgary Roughnecks, the San Diego Seals, and Panther City Lacrosse Club. I have three of those teams. I just don't have Panther City in. And from the East Coast, we both have Buffalo. We both have Halifax. We both have Toronto. Both have Philadelphia. And I've got Georgia getting in. Although, my thorn in the side, would love to see Panther City get back in the playoffs, because I think they're a very talented team and very fun. Just don't know if it's there. But I think Georgia and Panther City are very similar type of teams.
I do. But I think I like the moves Panther City has made. Mm-hmm. And like the trajectory they're on. Like, Georgia's kind of been hovering this trajectory of sliding in and out of that one of those last few playoff spots for the last few years. Whereas Panther City came in as an expansion team, did okay their first year, playoffs the next year. Like, they're looking to keep moving up. So that's why I trust them slightly more than I trust the Swarm.
Yeah. So we'll do playoff and like tier rankings almost every week, or try to, with every team, and have some fun with that. Kind of like, if everybody listening, obviously, I'm sure, like how Big Cat does with the NFL, we'll kind of do some fun stuff like that with the NLL this season. We'll wrap here with our final topic, because it is Thanksgiving week. It's brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. We prescribe to the fact that you need sunglasses during this time of the year just as much as you do in the summertime. Get your sunglasses, get your blue light glasses, get your prescription lenses, get those snow goggles. TomahawkShades.com. Download the app. They have their Black Friday sale going on right now as we record this, and I can tell you what it is. It's buy one, get two free. Buy one, get two free. If it's free, it's for me. If it's free for Deej, it's free for everybody. Buy one, get two free in the Tomahawk Shades app. And when you go to checkout, use code USP for 25% off your order anytime. Shout out to Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. Deej, it's Thanksgiving week. It's your favorite week of the year. I'll let you speak on it.
I couldn't be more happier for this week. Like, I have been buzzing at work this week. Like, I've been giving people a countdown since the beginning of the month. Like, Thanksgiving is, in fact, my favorite day of the year. There is not a more exciting day of the year than Thanksgiving. I get to do the things I love to do in addition to watching football, playing video games, and eating good food all day and sleeping. Like, there's just no requirements of me to do anything but just exist and eat really good food. So, like, duh. I don't know how this isn't everyone's favorite holiday. How do we like other holidays when all you have to do is eat and exist and sleep and do your favorite things? Like, hello. Oh, dude, I'm literally, like, almost not able to talk because my mouth is starting to drool thinking about food tomorrow.
What is on the plate for DJ Hughes on Thanksgiving?
I mean, ham, turkey, chicken, mashed potatoes, most likely, yams, potato salad, deviled eggs, greens, cabbage, cornbread, rolls. I feel like I'm missing something.
I mean, you got your beans, your greens, your potatoes. What about the tomatoes?
I don't eat tomatoes. You know that.
You know that. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
Ma'am.
It's one of the best videos of all time.
It is. It is, because that's me every year. But no, I mean, I haven't even touched on sweets. I mean, banana pudding, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, caramel cake, German chocolate cake, strawberry cake. Like, there's going to be all kinds of food. There might even be fruitcake. And not like the fruitcake you're thinking. Like, it's like a cookie base with frosting and then, like, cut up fresh fruit. Fire. Like, man, bro, I need to stop.
Like we always do on this show, we always rattle off a couple things we're thankful for. So, Deej, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving 2023?
Obviously, the sport of lacrosse, everything it's brought me, from you and the pod and everybody out there, the PLL, my friends that I've gotten through the sport, my memories, now my players, coaching is unreal. Thank you. Super thankful for my family. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to, one, be here, or two, make it through every single day without being able to rely on my family and fall back and ask them for help, or know that my dog is going to be there to give me all of the love after a tough day. Wow.
He's talking about me, guys. He's talking about me.
Yes, definitely. Super thankful for therapy. I went to therapy this year and have been going, and it's been super helpful with my self-esteem, my confidence, and how I feel about life and where I'm going. So super thankful for that. Super thankful for the opportunity to wake up multiple times throughout the year.
I think he got his swagger back. Definitely
got my swagger back, my guy. But just being able to wake up and breathe and do the things I love. I'm very thankful to have jobs that I don't find as work. I enjoy everything that I get paid to do. And even if I wasn't paid to do them, I would probably still do them. That's how much I love them. Then just thankful for love and peace and for Thanksgiving being tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, obviously thankful for everything that goes into this show, from you, the listeners, all the players and coaches who get down with us and support us, you know, the PLL, the NLL, across the board have been unbelievable to us over the years. So very thankful for the lacrosse community as a whole. Thankful for our entire Underground Sports Philadelphia fam, from our quote-unquote co-workers, our content creators here, to our listeners across every show, our advertisers, obviously, shout out to them. And, you know, this sport has done a ton for me professionally and for me just as a fan. It's allowed me to kind of like sit back and enjoy something in a wider grand scheme of things and be a fan of just like the sport, which is rare because when you're growing up, you have your traditional four sports and you're kind of plugged into a hole of like, here you go. This is the team you root for. This is how we root for them. And here it goes, which I'm very thankful for because I get to root for some of the best teams around. But the PLL and the NLL especially have given me the opportunity to kind of just enjoy a sport as a whole, which is very awesome. It's a very fun thing to do. And like we mentioned last week, just because there's not a team in your home city for the PLL doesn't mean you can't root for multiple teams because it's fun to do that. Thankful for the fam. Thankful for, like you said, getting to do jobs that are fun, that have led to so many opportunities, like working on Turkey Day. And I get to be part of a broadcast of one of the longest running sports rivalries in the country and arguably in the world, because American football is only played in America, American high school football, I should say. So yeah, it's pretty cool to kind of like remove yourself from some of those things and be like, holy shit, like I'm a cog in the wheel of something historical like that. But yeah, I mean, super thankful for all of our listeners. You guys make this podcast what it is, all of our podcasts what they are, and we wouldn't be able to crack the jokes like we did at the top of this show if it weren't for you guys. So shout out to you for listening each and every week and supporting us, supporting this podcast through ups and downs over the years, and making sure that we still have fun while you have fun, and chiming in and contributing each and every week. So big ups to everybody who listens. And I'm going to one-up you too, Deej, because I swear we better have it. CFO Margie, you better be listening through here. There better be cheesecake by Thanksgiving tomorrow. God damn it.
If it's not, you going to go buy one?
Probably. Probably.
Bro said, I need it.
Yep. I'll buy one just for myself.
Yeah. If you got to, can't nobody else touch it.
Nope.
Because you had to buy it.
Yep.
So, yeah. Nah.
This is me, myself, and I.
Tell them you going to get it. And if they ask for some, be like, you finna throw in on it?
Right.
You got a couple dollars for this pie?
Yep. You buy your slice.
Oh. You said you broke. Oh, this cheesecake tastes so good. This is a rich man's cheesecake. No.
It's a po' rich man's cheesecake.
Hey, there we
I'm
go.
Because so, I'm so po', I can't even afford the O-R at the end of the word.
This is the working class cheesecake.
Yes, a blue-collar cheesecake.
Oh, my God.
That's all we got for you guys. Also, Deej, as we record this on Wednesday, it is the 22nd anniversary of the greatest Thanksgiving Day halftime show of all time.
I saw that.
Creed and Scott Staff. Shout out to Creed. Shout out to Creed.
I saw that.
Make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. You can follow the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/undergroundsportsphi. Follow Deej on Twitter at @scs_nextgreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get your family to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get your friends to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get your friends' family and your family's friends to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And let's run those numbies up and head into 2024 on a big, shiny note. Next week, we've got National Lacrosse League game action underway. Can't wait. I can't believe it's back. If you're going to be on Long Island on December 2nd, holler at your boy because I will be there. It feels like a lot of the lacrosse community is going to be there, from Adam Levy to Dan Arestia to myself to a whole bunch of people. So it's going to be a wild opening weekend for the NLL. Which means picks are back. Let's fucking ride. This has been episode number 298 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked thankful as hell for y'all. And of course, viewable on YouTube. Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse pod on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a safe holiday weekend, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.